I'm just being honest, okay? Now, I know not to, right? You can't question God. I understand about the potter. I understand about the clay. But that's the spiritual part of me. So then when I'm feeling that way, what part of me is feeling that way? Exactly, the flesh. It's just honest. So at least God understands that, you know. So don't let that's when the devil comes in to make you think that spiritually you feel that way too. So you're just bad. I mean, it's just there's no good in you at all. And that's when he's got you. That's when he's got us. Okay, let's put it that way. All of us. Then we're going to skip to 7. Verse 7 says, "Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand." God, I'm not wicked. Why are you doing this to me? And you're a powerful God. If you decide to put the smackdown on me, there is no one, no power that can deliver me from your hands, God. So he knows, like, Job is smart enough to know that there is no way he's going to get away from God. If God decides that he's going to sit there and smack old Eric down, that's what he's going to do. And there's nobody that's going to be able to rescue Eric. You understand? So Job understands that too. But again, he's saying it out of frustration. He's frustrated. Again, this man doesn't know why God has chosen him to spotlight him to put all this misery on him, right? And then in verse 8 it says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me." See, why God would you allow me to be born? Why would you make me and then break me down and destroy me? Why? Why? Anybody know? Anybody have a good analogy as to why? Huh? All right, there's a testing going on. I like that. That's good. You know, and what does James say about that kind of testing? What does the book of James say about that testing? There you go. Blessed, happy is that man. Okay? And it says that we're supposed to be happy. Count it all joy when we go through various trials and tribulations. Knowing that as you go through trials and tribulations, it builds your patience. And patience produces perfection. And perfection wanting nothing. Okay, so what is he doing? He's putting you in the fire. Anybody ever heard of getting gold and throwing it in fire? Who would do such a weird thing like that? Precious gold, why would you throw it in fire? Okay, again, I want your analogy. God, you made me. You fashioned me. Why are you putting me through the trials and tribulations? Why are you destroying me? But a person that finds gold, what are they finding? Dirt, different alloy, metal, rocks. They have to put it in the fire to what? Separate it. Okay? Because what you're doing is you're purifying the gold. So you got to separate it from all the other stuff, from the dirt and the rocks and the stones and the alloys and other metals. And then you're left with purified gold. So anybody that would see that process of purifying gold understands that. Is that not what God is doing to us? You see, it's how we look at it. It's not about getting out of the situation. It's about understanding the situation, okay? It's not about getting out of the condition we're in. It's about understanding why we're in the condition we're in, okay? And what we can do in that condition. That's what he's doing. We have to look at it differently, and I had to do the same thing. God, take me out of this situation. Year 5, I'm still there. God, take me out of this situation. Year 10, I'm still there. God, take me out of this situation. Year 15, year 20, year 25, year 30, year 35. What should I have learned? I should have learned to change this, okay? Understand why he has me in the situation. Beautiful reasons. I get hundreds of reasons why he put me around people who were sick and dying. Come on. I'm a minister, right? What place should I be around people who are suffering and sick and dying than a hospital environment and home health environment, right? I was always doing stuff, couldn't see it because of the flesh. And that's what happens to us. We allow the flesh to overwhelm what God is doing for us. So we have to get to the point of what does God need? What does God have in design for us spiritually in this fleshly situation we find ourselves in, right? So verse 14, we're going to skip over there. It says, if I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from thine iniquity. Okay, if I sin, I understand. You're going to punish me, God. Verse 15, if I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction. God, do you not understand? I understand if I'm wicked and I'm doing something bad, you're beating me up, okay? Putting your neck on my throat, as Kelly always says. You know, God will put his foot on your neck. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Beat you up, okay? But if you're not doing wicked things, now why am I getting beat up, okay? Again, why are we throwing that beautiful, all that gold into the fire to purify it? God's doing the same thing to us, so we have to look at it. Are everything that you've gone through, has it not made you stronger? Don't we say all the time, if it doesn't kill you, okay, it's going to make you stronger. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We say that all the time, but we can't say it. We can't say that or understand that when God is doing it to us, right? Yeah, if it's not killing us, it's making us stronger, okay? What you go through, I tell you, remember I used to always say, I sit here and point at all of you here, all you Christians, and I tell you, you Christians are the strongest people I know, because it's hard to walk that path. A Christian path is the hardest path to walk. That's why it's very few of us. That's why it's very narrow, okay? It's easy to sin. That's easy. The majority of people in the world are doing that. They've chosen that path. That's the majority. But only a few can walk that straight and narrow path. So you guys are the strongest I know. Why do you think you're so strong? Because the master put you through stuff to prepare you to be strong. Everything that we go through is to prepare us. Right, William? Whenever you have a passion for something, you're going to put you through some stuff. A lot of stuff. And some people have to go through a lot of stuff in a short period of time, but it's preparing them for what they have to do. You know, so y'all pray for Brother William, okay? I want you to do that. I want you to do a special prayer because God is busy with him. He's putting him through a lot in a short period of time. That's a lot. It's a lot. It's okay if it's long periods of time. I've done that. Kelly's done that. We're going through a lot in a long period of time. But time is short, and some people have to be put through a whole lot in a short period of time, and that's very vexing, okay? And it can be very vexing on the body. So pray. I want y'all to do a special prayer for Brother William. Verse 18, wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Okay, and he's frustrated again. Why did you allow me to be born if you're just going to do this to me? If this is my life, seriously, could I not have died in the womb, right? Oh, that I had given up the ghost. What do you think giving up the ghost means? Died. Guilty, said the same thing. And no eyes had ever seen me. Those who have heard this, I don't know, some of you may not have. When I was born, the doctor of 30-some-odd years saw something he'd never seen before. Old Eric turned around, went back in. And when that happened, umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, so when I came out, I was a blue baby. They had to resuscitate me and bring me back. But the doctor said he'd never see anything like that again. I didn't want to come out, you know. And then when my mother told me that, I was like, wow, when I'm going through my stuff, I said, I wish I had died. Then I wouldn't have to be facing all this stuff I'm facing right now. I've been in heaven, you know, like the babies, innocent, gone. I wouldn't have to be suffering like that. A lot of people feel that way, right? And so, and let's go ahead and finish off verse 20. Are not my days few? Cease them and let me alone that I may take comfort a little while. God, you live for eternity. My days as a human are very few. Can you like stop the suffering and let me have a little joy in the remaining little years I got? please, let me have a house. Let me have a body that doesn't have pain and sickness. Let me be able to have happiness. Just for a short period, please. You know, that's what Job is asking right now. In verse 21, it says, before I go, whence thou shalt not return before I die, even to the land of the darkness and the shadows of death. Okay, when I go to, before I go to death, a land of darkness is darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Basically, there ain't no light shed upon me. You ain't spotlight no Job anymore, because Job is dead, you know. And so there he is glorifying death again. All right, and we'll go. You can imagine what his friends, Zophar, I don't know the correct pronunciation. You can just imagine what his response is going to be toward Job. I don't think it's going to be very good. So we'll get to that later. That'll be chapter 11. So now what I'd like to talk about is in this classroom, again, we're talking about the study of Job, and like, I'd like to hear how this has helped you to be able to deal with your own personal situation or to be empathetic with someone else who's in this that situation. Anybody like to share? Raise your hand and I shall come to you. All right, don't everybody speak at once, okay? It's too noise in here and I can't hear myself think. What is it? What have I done to make you guys so quiet? Y'all used to be very interactive and hands would always be up, questions would be asked, comments would be wanting to be said, and all of a sudden, you guys are quiet. Is it you're quiet because this hits home? Let me know, because I just need to know. Is it? Please, let me see. Okay, how many of you are quiet because it's hitting home? I'll put my hand up. Okay, we got a couple of people. All right. Would anyone like to share how the study of Job has helped them? Ah, we got one soldier over here. Okay. All right, we got one soldier that raised his hand. Good deal. Saved by the one soldier here. And I'm sure he'll muster up enough strength in other people, and I'll have another person that wants to tell me their story, right?
All right, Mr. I'm glad to see that you are living the book of Job, and I can't wait to the end to see how you're going to be.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I was trying to keep that to myself.
Good for you. I believe it's not very good for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, brother. Yep. And that's the thing, teaching, you know, myself, I can start it off teaching the book of Job. When I was on that bed trying to change out that smoke alarm and went to try to go back to sleep and plunge on my big belly and hit that wall and snap my neck backwards, let me tell you, that was a Job moment, because my biggest fear was being paralyzed for the rest of my life, and I got a chance to taste that. But guess what? Because we'd been studying the book of Job, guess who was prepared for even that? That's why I just started. I was like, okay, you know, if I'm paralyzed, I'm paralyzed. That's just it. That's your lot in life. A lot of people are paralyzed that didn't ask for it, right? That didn't deserve it no more than I did. Move on. And I just started praying for other people that's in worse conditions than myself. And that was the turning point, and I got that way because of studying the book of Job. Yes, ma'am. Hold on just a second.
My husband was sick.
Okay, husband was sick.
He was sick. We were at Baylor's, and I stayed there for a long, long, very time, and I keep asking my husband, you doing okay? He said, yeah, but I was kind of worried about Brother Eric, because I know Brother Eric was going to come back in the church. He was going to come back. He was going to come talk to us about Job. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that. So he's in the hospital.
When I seen Brother Eric, I was so glad. I just was happy. Yeah. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Here's Brother Eric. Because I seen Brother Eric was going to be okay. And my husband is too. My husband is around. Amen. He walked. He kind of limping a little bit, but he's still alive.
All right.
I stick with him, Brother Eric. I never give up.
There you go.
You can't never give up.
That's it.
Yeah. And we love you, Brother Eric, and I'm so glad to see you, and my husband, too. He's doing fine. He's going to come to church, but it's just his leg. But he still loves the Lord, and he's going to come back to church. And he said he loved every last one of us over here.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. Book of Job can prepare us, you know, for those issues. I'm trying to keep my leg from locking here.
We're making you get some exercise this morning. So it's not lost on me as we study this book that, you know, we're fortunate because in reading the book, we know what Job didn't. And that was is that he was allowed to be afflicted because God knew that he was able to handle it and that he would not curse his name through it all. Now, Job didn't realize that. And that's why Job was asking all these questions. You know, man, why should I have even be born? You know, I can honestly say I can't remember. I was raised, you know, believing that all good things come from God. And so I don't ever recall in my personal suffering ever having, you know, shaken my fist at God and blamed him for the things that were going on in my life. But I've many times questioned why I would have to go through it, questioned why he wouldn't deliver me, you know, from drug addiction and things of this nature. And it gives me great encouragement to know, after having studied this book with you, that oftentimes the trials that we're going through, we're allowed to endure because God knows and he has already given us the strength to make it through. So it gives me a new perspective on the trials I face, and I thank you for bringing that forward.
Appreciate that. And God says that he will not put any burden upon us that we cannot bear. And you know what he says? So that's a scary thing, because I was thinking, oh, wait a minute, that's what woke me up one day. I'm like, okay, I'm sitting there crying out to God like a little whiny baby, telling him that I can't take anymore. God, I'm telling you, this is affecting my sleep. I have sleep deprivation. I've got to work. I'm working 12 and a half hours. I got these noisy neighbors, and I've been pleading about these noisy neighbors for years and years. God, I can't take anymore. Make a big bird come and take these neighbors away, okay? Guess what? The neighbors never went anywhere. They're still there. Noise is still there. So guess what Brother Eric should have learned? I will not put anything on you that you can't bear. And with that, I will provide a means of escape. I didn't escape. So what does that mean? Eric, you can bear this. And even more, I'm preparing you for something else. More than you know. God can see into the future. We can't, right? So he's preparing me because I'm sure as a father, he's going, geez, Eric, if you can't take this, you don't want to know what's going to happen in the future, buddy. Because there's going to be a whole lot worse than that, Mr. Eric. So why don't you just stay in there and learn to be a man, okay? But that's a father for you, right? That's how a father teaches his son or his daughter. He sees in the future what that daughter, that son's got to go through, and he's going to throw him in. Some people get thrown in the swimming pool. I can't swim. Well, you're going to learn how to swim. Okay? That's not mean. Not because the parent doesn't love the kid. It's because that's something that's needed. And so God knows what's going to happen in the future for us, and he is preparing us. All these things that we're going through is to make us stronger so that we can go through it. Okay, I think I'm probably out of my time, Brother Truck. I'm out of time. He's my official timekeeper. Okay, all right, so I guess I'm out of time. I appreciate everyone, and I pray that God would add a blessing to the reading and studying and the learning of the book of Job so we can help apply this to our lives. God bless you all.